since Reverend Barge had a birthday a few weeks ago, we're giving him a rest today. So I'm going to do the announcements. These announcements are in your bulletin. They're also on our website. On Saturday, May the 20th, our Presbyterian women will be having our installation breakfast gathering. All women of the church are invited, whether you are a participating member of a circle or not. So please come out. It's at 10 a.m. It's here in the church. It's in the library chapel area. And we will have a continental breakfast at 10. Reverend Barge will be installing our officers, and then our program that day is our mission project. It's for Presbyterian disaster assistance, where we will be assembling our hygiene kits. There is a list of the items that are needed in the bulletin, also on the website. You do not have to buy them all for a complete kit. We will just appreciate whatever you can donate. You can bring them that day, or you can bring them next Sunday and give them to either Robin, Angel, Pat, or myself. The other two announcements are the church picnic. Please mark your calendars for Saturday, June 10th, for the Sunday school picnic at Burholm Park between the hours of 12 and 4. Of course, weather permitting. And we're also looking for volunteers for Vacation Bible School. So if you can volunteer and you're interested, please contact Desiree Kitt. Our epistle lesson today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. For you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Come to him, to that living stone rejected by men, but in God's sight chosen and precious. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and he who believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, therefore, who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, and a stone that will make men stumble, a rock that will make them fall. For they stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 14 of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 14. So let us listen to God's word for us. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. This passage here from John is one of the most comforting passages in the New Testament, one of the most comforting passages in all the Bible. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his imminent departure, and he wants to comfort them. And so this passage has some very familiar and very comforting verses in it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But I love what Jesus tells his disciples here in this passage this morning. He tells them that they are going to not only do the works that he did, but they're going to do even greater works. They're going to do even greater works than what Jesus did. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine all of us, all of the Lord's disciples, all of God's people doing greater works than what Jesus did? We all know the kind of things that Jesus did. We all know the kind of work that he did. Jesus went around, he healed the sick. He turned water into wine. He opened the eyes of the blind. He fed the hungry. He raised people from the dead. Jesus did a number of powerful works, remarkable works. Now Jesus says that all of that was just the beginning. He says, you ain't seen nothing yet. He tells his disciples, you're going to do even greater works. Greater works than I've done. I can only imagine what the Lord's disciples must have been thinking when Jesus told them that. Can only imagine what they must have been saying to themselves. Lord, remember who you're talking to. We're just a small group of ordinary people. We've never done anything remarkable. We've never done anything great. We're just an assembly, a motley assemblage of fishermen and a few tax collectors scattered here and there. We're just a motley group of people. We've never done anything remarkable. How in the world are we going to be able to approach anything like what you've done? But Jesus says, he tells them, you are destined for greatness. He tells them, you are going to transform the world. You're going to do even greater works than me. I find that quite remarkable. Doing greater works than what Jesus did. Of course, we know that Jesus was able to do what he did because of his relationship with God, his relationship with the Father. That's what he says, me and the Father are one. He says that earlier in John 10. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I imagine by this time in John's gospel, his disciples are getting a little fearful. They know that Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's been preparing them for that. Perhaps they sense that the world is closing in on them, that evil is closing in on them. And so they ask what we sometimes probably ask ourselves, Lord, show us the Father. If we could just see the Father, if we could just see God, we will be satisfied. And Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because I am in the Father and the Father is in me. In other words, Jesus says that not only has he made his home, his abode in the Father, but he says that the Father has made his home in Jesus. Jesus is the very dwelling place of God. Jesus is the house of God in the midst of the world. Jesus is where God has pitched God's tent. And so Jesus tells him, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm getting ready to go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you might be also. We often read that passage during funerals, and it's a wonderful passage to read during funerals, but it's not just a passage that has relevance for when we die, but it's a passage that has relevance for us right now. Jesus is saying that he is going to prepare a place for us right now, a place in God's own heart, so that where Jesus is, we might be also. And it's because of this indwelling, this mutual indwelling between the Father and the Son, that Jesus was able to do all the powerful works that he did. But now, Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to bring them home. He's going to bring all of us home so that the same Father who is dwelling in him will dwell in all of us as well. And he says, not only will you do the works that I did, but you will do even greater works. Just want to say a few words about works this morning, because often we Protestants give works a bad rap. We often try to pit works and faith against each other. But we're reminded this morning that faith without works is dead, as the Epistle James reminds us. God, as God's people, requires that we be people of works. Not because our works are what secures God's love for us. Not because it's our works that earns our favor with God, but we are called to be people of works because our works are proof that we are connected with God. Our works are proof that God's presence is indeed dwelling within us. You know, Jesus didn't go around doing what he did because he was trying to earn God's love. He already was assured of that. He knew that he and the Father were one. But he went around doing the works that he did, which were works of love, works of mercy, works of compassion, works of healing. He did all of those things to glorify God. He did all of those things to bear witness to God. He did all of those things to testify to the truth of what he has told us, that I and the Father are one. We are one. And now Jesus says, you, all of you, all of us, he says, we will do even greater works than he did. Sometimes that just sounds too fantastic to believe. Sometimes it's just too taxing to believe it. It takes enough faith to believe Jesus is who he said that he was, but it takes a great deal of faith to believe that somehow God is working in us, that God has promised to do greater things in us than what God did in Jesus. We tend to read the Bible individualistically. That's the way we often approach the scriptures. We live in a very individualistic society, and when we read the Bible, we tend to read it that way as well. So when we hear Jesus say something like "you," we tend to think he's talking about us individually. So when Jesus says, "you're going to do greater things than I," we tend to think of ourselves doing greater things than Jesus. But when Jesus says that we will do greater works than he is did, he is talking not about quality, he's talking about quantity. We are able to do greater works than Jesus has done because we, all of us, are the body of Christ. All of us are God's people around the world, no matter where we might be. We are all the body of Christ. People here in the United States, people here in Alney, people in other places of the world, wherever you might be, we are all a part of the body of Christ. You know, Jesus was quite limited in what he could do during his earthly life. He never ventured more than 200 miles from where he was born. He could only see a few people at a time. He was limited in time and in space. He often did wonderful things. When he did do them, he fed 5,000 people, and then he fed 4,000 people. But still, he was limited in space and time, limited in what he could do. But as the body of Christ, as God's people in the world, we can do so much more. As the body of Christ, as God's people all over the world, we have the opportunity to do the things that Jesus did on the scale that Jesus couldn't do. As the body of Christ, we can feed people all over the world in numbers that Jesus couldn't do. And people do that every day. They engage in works of mercy, works of love, works of compassion on the scale that Jesus couldn't do. But every day as God's people, every day as the body of Christ, we are doing greater works than what Jesus did. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, housing the homeless, looking out for the vulnerable, serving each other, loving each other. Every day we are doing, Christians around the world are doing greater things than Jesus did. It's easy for us as God's people sometimes, I think, to sell ourselves short. We do that as individuals, and we do it as churches as well. I hear churches who do that all the time. We often define ourselves by what we don't have. We don't have a lot of people. We don't have a lot of resources. We don't have this or we don't have that. We define ourselves that way. But instead of defining ourselves by what we lack, we ought to be defining ourselves by what we have. And what we have is the most important thing in the world. What we have is the most powerful thing in the world. What we have is the power of God dwelling in our midst. That's what we have here at Alney Presbyterian Church. That's what we have whenever God's people come together, wherever they are. We have the presence of God dwelling in our midst. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in our midst. Many of you know I do some work with an organization, used to be called Presby's Inspired Life. It's got a new name now, but it's an organization that provides housing for seniors, market rate housing, as well as affordable housing. You know, we're in a crisis in our country with housing in general, but especially for affordable housing for seniors, especially seniors who are on fixed income. Some seniors only get their social security, and it hardly covers what they need in order to find a roof over their heads. But several years ago, there were two women. They were part of a little Baptist church. I believe it was in West Philadelphia, but it was just a small church, small group of followers. And these two women looked to be ladies in their late 50s, 60s maybe, but they were the pastors of this little church. But they looked around their community, and they recognized that there was a lack of affordable housing for seniors. And so that little church made it a point that they were going to be the place that spearheaded an effort to bring affordable housing to their community. And that's what they did. These two little women, this small little bitty Baptist church, not a whole lot of people at all, but they said, we've got the power of God dwelling in us. We have been promised by Jesus himself that we will do greater things than even he did. And so they committed themselves to bringing housing, affordable housing, to their little community. And so they researched it, and they did whatever they had to do to make sure that they were going to bring that vision to fulfillment. And so they contacted Presby's Inspired Life, and Presby's gave them a grant, and they were able in the end to provide housing for their little community that surrounded their little church. It's a small little bitty band of people, kind of like Jesus' earliest disciples. And yet we are told that that's the way God works. God often chooses just a small grouping of people, and he promises them that you're going to do great things. You're going to help to transform the world. Not because of who you are, but because of who I am. And that's what we are called to do. With God's people all over the world, we are called to engage and to do the works that Jesus himself did. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Whatever you ask, I'll do it. We sometimes distort that too. We think, you know, whatever we ask, Jesus said, whatever we ask. I've heard people say, I'm going to ask for a new car. I'm going to ask for a parking space. I'm going to ask for a new job. No, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask that is consistent with what I myself did, whatever you ask that is amenable to my works of compassion and mercy, whatever you ask, I'll do it. Isn't that amazing for us here at Olney Presbyterian Church? All we have to do is ask, whatever we ask. If we ask Jesus to help us to go out into this community, if we ask Jesus for help in meeting the needs in this community, if we ask Jesus for help in reaching out to the vulnerable, if we ask Jesus for help in feeding the hungry, if we ask Jesus for help in reaching out, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it, because it's an opportunity to glorify my name. It's an opportunity to glorify God. That's why you're going to do great works. Greater than even I did. Friends, don't sell yourselves short. Let us not sell ourselves short. Let us understand who we are. We're not just a small collection of people who don't have a clue. We're not just a small collection of people who can't get anything done. We're just not just a small collection of people who just come here to survive, but we are a royal priesthood. As the writer of 1 Peter tells us, we are a holy nation. We are God's own possession. We are a chosen race. You know, we live in a society that likes to talk a lot about race, but we are a chosen race as God's people, you and me, God's people everywhere. We are a chosen race, and we are chosen to do great works. Greater works than even Jesus has done. There are people in the world today who say, just as what the disciples said this morning, show us the Father. In a world of war and rumors of war, in a world of hatred and violence, in a world where the storm clouds of evil seem to gather all the more rapidly, people want to see the Father. If I could just see the Father, if I could just see God, we could just see God, we'd be satisfied. Show us the Father, somebody. Show us the Father. Show us God. Here's the truth that you and I have. That we are in Christ. We abide in Christ, and Christ abides in God, and God abides in Christ, and God abides in all of us. God's presence dwells in us. We are God's great answer to what is wrong in the world. We are the people who can give the world a glimpse of the loving creator God who has the whole world in his hands. We are the people who are called to show the world the Lord Jesus Christ and to show the world the Father. Because we are the people who are chosen to do God's work. Work is even greater than the work that Jesus did himself. Friends, let us be about that work for the sake of this world that God loves. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning. Thank you this morning for your loving presence in the midst of us, for your loving presence in the midst of this world. We know that the world often seems to be a God-forsaken place. But we are your people. We are the people that has your spirit blowing in the midst of us, your presence blowing in the midst of us, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ blowing in the midst of us. You have made your home, the home of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with us. And so we ask, Lord, that you help us to show the world your heart in everything that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.